You're listening to Let's Get Legal, powered by the Illinois State Bar Association with host John Hansen. Today's show is sponsored by attorney Michael Leonard from Leonard Trial Lawyers and attorney Patrick Dolan from Conti and Dolan. Now, here's John Hansen, and let's get legal.
All right, 113 on WGN. Hope you're enjoying just a gorgeous Saturday around the Chicagoland area. If you're new to this show, 1 to 3 most Saturday afternoons, we break down things from a legal lens, stories that are in the news, helpful hints for other people, maybe things you're dealing with in your everyday lives. And I'm not a lawyer, but I have experts on that are. And our good friend Patrick Dolan is one of them from Conti and Dolan. Patrick, good to talk to you again.
Good to be here.
312-981-7200. See, the phone line's already lighting up, and they often do when you come on, Patrick, because what is it that you do?
I'm a workplace attorney. So what I do is help folks in any aspect of their job. Maybe it's a compensation issue. Maybe it's a harassment or discrimination issue. Maybe it's a non-compete issue. There's a lot of folks with non-competes, and they're concerned about whether they actually have to abide by that when they're moving to their next job.
Mm-hmm. So it's multifaceted.
You help people out every aspect.
Before, during, and after a job.
That's right.
Do you find, generally speaking, no matter what the dispute is, that an employee will have more weight against their employer, maybe a little more bravado, with just a lawyer's letter along with them? You know what I mean? Like, just even the fact that someone may employ you to be their backbone, I guess you could say, move the needle a little bit sometimes with employers.
Yeah, and I focus on what's effective, right? So if someone's like, oh, I'm afraid that they'll, you know, sort of dig their heels in if a lawyer comes in and writes a demand letter. But it is, in my experience, typically the best way to assert someone's rights. Or I can help them fashion a communication, an email, a message, you know, verbally or otherwise, about an issue they're having at work, so they use the right terms that may secure claims down the road, and just articulates it in a way that I think gets the point across best. So it kind of depends on, well, I always focus on what is the most effective, what's the goal. Am I, more explicitly involved to achieve the goal, or am I more behind the scenes? I talk about that.
Yeah, what I appreciate about you, and you've never represented me, but I've now known you for a while, and we've chatted through, and you're just a super nice guy, if I don't mind me saying so. I feel like you work with your clients to help them reach their goals. It's not like you go in firebranded, ready to sue companies. If that's where it needs to be, that's where it is. But
yeah,
you take a delicate approach that respects that someone might be a little afraid to go up against their bosses.
You know, I think it's just my experience. I've been doing this a long time, and I have learned that whatever the goal is, focusing on how best to get there may involve litigation. Frankly, oftentimes it does not. Litigation, you know, most people know, is very stressful. It can be expensive. It sends your life on a different path for a while. So it's not something to be jumped into at all. Sometimes we do have to simply file a lawsuit, but most of the time we don't, to preserve the person's rights and to achieve whatever that goal is. But there's, you know, I think I've done it long enough to know the focus is on the goal and how do we get there.
Okay. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. We're going to get to a question that someone has on the line in a bit. Also, you can text in your questions. How can people reach you, Patrick?
My number is 312-332-7800.
All right. More after this on Let's Get Legal, powered by the Illinois State Bar Association on WGN. It's 120 on WGN. Patrick Dolan from Conti and Dolan here, employment lawyer here to answer your questions about things that happen at work, goofy things, things that you didn't like, things that your employer didn't like, perhaps. And we're going to go to Steve. Steve, you're on line one, and you're on Let's Get Legal. Good afternoon.
How are you?
Good. What's your story here for Patrick in a couple sentences?
Okay. I'm a 63-year-old truck driver.
Okay.
I've been behind the wheel for 75 years.
Whoa. You're 63, and you've been behind the wheel for 75 years?
I've been behind the wheel since 1975.
Oh, there we go. All right, keep going.
Okay, I applied for a job to drive a truck, and I sat down, and the guy had a stack of papers. It was the application. It was like a stack of mortgage papers.
Uh-huh. Oh, it's two.
I'm starting to fill out the application. I'm going through it, you know. Have you ever had a, is this the only driver's license you ever had? Yeah, sign it. Have you ever been denied a license? Nope, sign it. Have you ever flunked a drug test? Nope, sign it. So I'm going through all this stuff, and I come across this one, and it says that if I leave the company, I cannot, do not compete clause. I can't go work for a competitor. I cannot talk about accounts.
But you are like in, that. You're in Patrick Dolan's wheelhouse. He lit up when you said non-compete clause. Were you wondering, is that legal to do, or what's your question?
Well, on page two that I didn't read, because I thought it was all a continuation of I can't go work for anybody, I just signed it. But it says that in this training period, any and all monies that are paid to me that I got to pay back the company.
Whoa. So like during a training, like grace period where they're seeing if you do work and you take the, so you were actually doing a job. You were transporting cargo?
I was doing the job. The guy who was training me, I was riding with this guy doing his normal run. It was nothing special, nothing, we're doing his deliveries.
And you're wondering, is that squirrely? I got to let Patrick answer the question.
I was doing all the work.
You're doing all the work, but you weren't getting paid for it, right?
No, I was getting paid for it.
Okay.
I was getting paid $20 an hour.
Okay.
The trainer was getting paid $40 an hour.
Okay.
After 4 days, I got sick. And then I told my wife, I said, you know, I'm 63 years old. This gig is something for a young guy.
Yeah.
Steve, this is a young guy's gig. I had my knees replaced. I can't get down on the ground on my knees and get back up.
Steve, we got to get to other callers. Get to the point. What's the ultimate question?
Anyway, the guy sends me a thing saying that I owe him $3,000.
Whoa.
He wants the $950 that he paid me back. He wants the $1,900 he paid the trainer, who was basically his normal paycheck, his normal run.
Okay,
he wants that reimbursed, and he wants drug test and background check money back.
Okay, let's let Patrick answer. Go ahead, Patrick.
So, thanks, Steve. There's a number of issues there, so let's parse them out. First, with regard to your compensation, if you did the work, you should be paid for the work, and they cannot demand that the money is paid back to you. That's number one. Now, the non-compete. If you make less than $75,000 a year, the non-compete is unenforceable.
In Illinois.
In Illinois, no matter what. It doesn't matter if it's written in an enforceable way. If you make under $75,000 a year, it's straight up unenforceable. I think what happened is there's often in employment agreements some sort of forfeiture clause if you breach the agreement, okay? And the agreement often includes the non-compete. So if you violate a non-compete, the agreement could say during that time period, it's like almost like a liquidated damages clause. It says if you violate during that, you forfeit your right to retain those monies.
That he earned in those training periods?
Yes, because he's in breach of the agreement. But that's what I'm saying. That probably doesn't. I just want to point that out to the listeners. It's possible that you could forfeit compensation if you were in breach of the agreement during that time. It's possible.
Okay.
But I don't think that's what he's talking about.
If he just got sick and he said, I don't want to do this anymore,
I just want to point that out because I'm not sure what his agreement says. That's why I'm saying that.
Right. Okay, so let's assume that it didn't say that or that Steve wasn't doing anything wrong. He just said, this wasn't
listen,
for me.
If you work, you got to get paid. And you're not obligated to pay back the money under any circumstance.
And for like drug tests and the trainer,
because remember,
you don't
even
get to collect that back.
Because if you're not
that's
paid,
just part of doing business.
Yes.
But Steve, no matter how much you make, the employer can't violate minimum wage laws. And if they don't pay you, they're violating minimum wage laws.
Ask for the money back.
That's what I mean. That's the effect of asking for the money back.
They haven't
paid you for the work.
Yeah, no chance.
If this guy told me, hey, listen, you quit on me, I'm just going to keep your paycheck.
No.
I would have said, hey, fine. It was only 4 days. It's not a big deal to me.
Yeah, but he shouldn't be. He can't do that.
Yeah, he can't.
No, the employer can't do that.
He wants me to pay him back trainer's salary.
No.
No.
You need a letter from a lawyer named Patrick Dolan.
Steve, you're paying nothing back.
Yeah, do not pay a dime back.
No.
And if he comes at you, you haven't paid him back or anything yet, have you, Steve?
No, I just got this letter. I'm supposed to settle this up by next Friday.
You ain't doing that. You're going to get a letter from Patrick Dolan instead.
Give me a call at the office, Steve. I'm happy to help.
Call him Monday, okay?
Okay. Let me hold on here. Let me get a pen here.
I like this part. This is where we get everyone's number. Everyone get a pen out together. Steve and all the listeners.
All right. I'm ready.
Go
ahead. I'm ready to go.
So my number, Steve, is 312-332-7800.
7800.
You got it, Steve.
And you're Patrick Dolan?
That's right.
Nice job, Steve.
Patrick, thank you, Steve.
Sorry to rush you along, buddy. I was just trying to get to other listeners. You're the best, okay?
Hey, thanks. I'll be calling you Monday morning.
Thank you. Take care.
Love it. Okay. Here's a question from the 773.
Okay.
By the way, and I apologize to the listeners if it was unsettling of me hurrying Steve along. Just want to make sure we get to as many questions as we can today.
I mean, a lot of people.
You know I'm a nice guy.
I do know you're a nice guy, John.
Did I understand that right, that if you make under $75,000 in Illinois, that the non-compete clause is not enforceable?
That's correct.
100%.
100%.
Yeah.
And if you make less than $45,000, a non-solicitation agreement is unenforceable in the state of Illinois.
Is that pre-tax wage? I'm curious. Is it AGI? What is it?
No. I that's your salary.
Salary.
That's your salary.
Okay.
Right.
Just making sure I got it.
It's not net.
It's not net, exactly. 312-981-7200 if you have any questions. But that's what we're talking about. These squirrely things happen all the time.
All the time.
I know for a while you worked, not to call you out, but you worked for businesses.
I did.
Which gave you a sense of how they operate. And I'm sure that most of them operated perfectly fine with you. I know a lot of great corporations out there follow the letter of the law and do their best. It doesn't mean squirrely things don't slip through the cracks.
Right. And, well, I still represent some businesses. It just so happens that most of my clients are employees at all levels, from C-suite executives to hourly employees, and everybody in between. And it helps me a lot, having represented and still representing employers, to understand the issues from both sides. It's a good thing when you're trying to work out problems, frankly, without litigating. Understanding where everybody's coming from is very helpful.
312-981-7200. 630 wants to know, can you explain, like I'm 10 years old, what non-solicitation is?
Sure. So a non-solicitation provision in an employment agreement, could be in an offer letter, could be when you're leaving in a separation agreement, prohibits you, the employee, from soliciting employees you worked with to leave that job at your former employer.
Like, come on, let's go to this new one. Okay.
Right? Or it's usually an and, because they're both usually in there, and can prohibit you from soliciting customers or clients with whom you worked or had confidential information while you were working at that company.
I have a follow-up question, and this is probably broader than just solicitation. It probably includes other things. Do these solicitation agreements or non-competes or other things along these lines have to be in contracts that you sign, or are they sometimes hidden in employee handbooks that you have acknowledged that you've read?
Yeah.
Is there a difference between the two things I've just said?
They're usually found in employment offer letters or separation agreements. Is that the only place where they can be enforceable? No.
Okay.
If they're in a handbook, which is not where they usually are, frankly,
right? Okay.
Then they can be enforceable, but then I have arguments that you weren't aware of it, or you weren't made aware of it, you weren't given access to the handbook, or whatever it is.
Okay.
But that's not usually where they find themselves. Mostly because companies don't want them to apply to everybody. You know what I mean?
Sure, right.
Yeah.
It's specialized employees or something like that. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. 312-332-7800 is Patrick Dolan's phone number. You can't call him till Monday, though, because he's, enjoying the weekend. Time for the news on WGN. My name is John Hanson. This is Let's Get Legal. We are powered by the Illinois State Bar Association, and I'm joined by Patrick Dolan from Conti and Dolan, employment lawyer. Our phone number right now, 312-981-7200. The lines are open, and I know people have had weird things happen to them at work, strange requests from bosses. They feel like they've been discriminated based on age. We get that a lot. A lot of callers say that. Some of it may be an issue for you to get compensated for, or maybe not. And here's how we find it out. You call right now, 312-981-7200, to talk to Patrick Dolan. All right, Patrick, we had a caller who couldn't stay on the line with us, who wanted to know the basics about bereavement leave here in Illinois. So, broadly speaking, are you allowed to take time off for bereavement?
You are, under Illinois law, up to 10 days. And you can take leave. It's unpaid, by the way. And you can take the
leave. It can be paid if the company pays it.
Yeah, it can be. Or you could substitute your vacation time and then it's paid. But the company does not have to pay you. It's not in the law. And it can be for a number of things, you know, attending a funeral, of a family member. And also the law has changed recently, John, and you and I were just talking about this, to something beyond attending a funeral. It can be for mourning, the loss, after a miscarriage, after a failed, round of, attempted, fertilization in different ways.
Interesting.
And that actually changed early this year. So it really broadened what someone can take time for. In other words, what constitutes bereavement? You know, what have you gone through that you're grieving? And so that is really broadened, which I think is very helpful to a number of people, obviously.
Yeah. And it's beyond just the funeral, I think you were alluding to there. It allows you time to grieve, too.
Right.
That could be.
That's right.
You know,
it's 10 days. I mean, it's up to 10 days.
Right.
And so it allows you the time needed to work through those very difficult issues.
I know this always gets in, you know, it's always so weird to say, well, who's covered or not? I'm looking at the website. Correct me if I'm wrong with any of this. An employee's child, God forbid, stepchild, spouse, domestic partner, sibling, parent, mother-in-law, father-in-law, grandchild, grandparent, or step-parent. I would imagine that if someone falls out of that realm but was an important person to you, like some people are raised by their uncles, right? Like uncles and aunts, that most companies are willing to work with you, right? I hope.
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, in my experience, the answer is yes. And, you know, another area where it's been broadened by recent law is a failed adoption.
Right.
So it's not just a failed procedure of some fertilization procedure of some sort. It's a failed adoption. So it addresses, rightly so, a number of different reasons why folks are bereaved and gives them the time that they need.
But it isn't necessarily paid. Some companies, I think a lot of companies do have paid bereavement, like five calendar days or something like
that. Yes, I think in my experience that's the case, yeah. Okay. But the law, you know, most laws, it's unpaid. You know, and what companies do oftentimes is better.
This is from the 312. I work for a Fortune 100 company. The vacation policy is 11 holidays and 15 days off. The bonus program requires you to be 90% utilization. To meet that measurement, you cannot take the 15 days or must work 45 to 50 hours per week. If you are not at the 90% utilization, you can be released. Do you know what that means?
I do, and I think it could be problematic because under
They don't get a bonus if they aren't at 90% utilization,
right?
And if they take, they're entitled days.
They're not going to be at 90% utilization.
Well, then what's the point of that?
Yeah, well, I think it's even worse than that. So under Illinois law, you need to be given a reasonable and fair opportunity to take your vacation. Okay, so if you're offered that amount of vacation and the company is saying, but actually you're penalized for not taking it, I think that's a problem under vacation law.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense to me.
It doesn't. I'm not, you know, maybe they didn't do the math.
If you're doing everything that the employee handbook says you're allowed to do,
right,
or your contract says to do,
right,
you're taking all the time that has been allotted to you, and that drops you to 87% utilization, which what does that even mean?
Then you don't qualify for a bonus. That's problematic.
That is problematic.
Yeah.
312, call Patrick Dolan.
Yeah.
Get your money. Because then it encourages people not to take the vacation that you are allotting for them. That seems crazy. All right, tell you what, we got the phone lines lighting up. You can add your name to the list too. 312-981-7200. More with Patrick Dolan after this on WGN. 146 here on WGN. Patrick Dolan, employment lawyer. Couple more thoughts on bereavement leave. What did you want to say? I forget.
Well, a couple of things. Well, someone asked us during the break if it applies to pets.
Oh, and no, let's get Vicky on the line.
Oh, sorry.
That's what we're going to get.
I didn't
here.
Know if you.
Hey, Vicky,
I'll let her
on
answer
WGN.
The
hey, Vicky, what's your question?
Well, I was wondering if this bereavement is going to extend to loss of a pet because, you know, having lost pets myself, it was very difficult to go into work the next day, and it's a lot of grief.
What'd you find, Patrick?
The law does not provide for that, and you know what? Maybe I'll just take it upon myself to, you know, force
fight
that issue.
For this?
Yeah,
yes.
Fight for this, right? Because it absolutely should. I mean, those of us who own pets understand it's extremely traumatic when a pet dies.
Yes.
So,
yes. Yeah.
So I completely, it should. I do not think the law does. It certainly doesn't state so explicitly.
Couldn't you take a sick day, though, as a paid sick day?
Yeah. So, you know what? That's just one law.
Yeah.
I think a company is going to, you know, let you have a day or two off for pet bereavement. I really do.
They may make you take a sick day to get paid for it, though, right? Maybe. It depends.
Maybe, yeah.
Vicky, I'm sorry. I hope you haven't lost a pet recently, and I hope that they gave you time off when you needed it. So,
yes.
All right, thanks for the call, Vicky. I appreciate that. You had something else you wanted to say?
Yeah,
about
a couple of things about bereavement leave. So, it works in conjunction with the Family and Medical Leave Act in the sense that it only applies to employers who have 50 or more employees, and you need to have worked for a full year in order to qualify for that leave. So I just wanted to point that out. It doesn't apply to every employer or every employee.
And once again, this is unpaid leave you're entitled for, but you're entitled to keep your job to go do these things, including grieving. Okay.
Right.
Let's go to Joan's got a question. Hey, okay. Joan.
Hi, Darren.
What's your question?
So my question is, to be eligible for a career promotion, it's called an incentive program where I work.
Okay.
You have to reach a certain score on your annual review for 2 years in a row. Okay, great. I reached that. And my question is, I was told it no longer existed. So the HR department has a policy and procedural manual. And I was just wondering if that needs to be updated if a program no longer exists.
So you met this criteria and they're like, oh, sorry, this doesn't exist anymore. And you're like, it's still in the handbook?
Right.
Okay. What do you think, Patrick?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So it really focuses on what the nature of the program is itself. For example, if it's a benefit that you have a right to, or any form of compensation that you have a right to, they can't change that.
What do you mean by a right to? Like it was agreed at employment?
Yeah, it's something you're entitled to. In other words, if you don't get it, you could pursue some sort of contract claim because they didn't do that. Now, some incentive programs though can change over time without it being a breach of contract. So it really depends on whether, she has that right under the contract or if it's a benefit program that can be changed. I'd have to read it specifically. In my opinion, I think it errs on the side of if you qualified for it while the program existed, then you should derive the benefit of the program. In other words, you should be promoted. So that would be my argument. You have a contract right to that.
And it's in the handbook still.
That's what I mean. That's where the contract right derives from.
Yeah,
right.
They can't just be like, no Jones allowed. Like, that's not fair.
No, they at least, I agree, they at least have to change it in the handbook.
Okay. Thank you so much, Joan. Go ahead.
Okay.
So call Patrick. That's what I was going to say.
It no longer existed because of COVID. Oh. And there are,
I don't think that matters.
Had to be notified.
Yeah, well, they could notify everybody, by email or something.
Yeah, right. How hard is that to do? Like, don't go through.
Most people work remote. Not most. A lot of people work remotely. They, get their information.
Call Patrick on Monday, okay?
Okay,
will
do.
Yeah, at least let him look over the language. I got a question from Mel. Mel, you're on WGN. Hey, Mel.
Good afternoon. How are you guys doing?
What's your question for us?
Well, last week I had friends in from out of town. I'm still working full time because I'm in sales, all right? And I'm 72 years old, and I had to spend 2.5 hours online with a sexual harassment course.
Oh, yeah.
A mandatory sexual harassment course.
Yep.
At 72, if I don't know what I can and can't say, I'm done, right?
Mel, come
and
on.
I'm offensive to have to do that.
Have an open mind. You learn new things. And the companies have to do them now,
I was going to say, it's legally required. They have to.
Yeah, sorry. So you had to do it. Sorry, Mel.
Well, but what about my rights? I found it offensive.
You found what offensive?
The harassment
that
course?
I had to Yeah, you know, the, well, you know, this, it's,
Mel, you don't get to sue a company because they made you do something that you found stupid or boring.
That they're legally required to do.
Yeah, we'd all sue every company if we're...
I'd have a lot more work.
Yes, if I could legally be upset at a company for making me do something stupid, I'd have sued every company I've ever... No, what I deem stupid. I think that's important. I'm saying, like, other things. Like, then you open up the realm of a lot of things. Thanks for the call, Mel. It's... All right.
Mel's unhappy with that program.
Let's go to Valerie. Hey, Valerie.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm Valerie. I'm a nurse at a hospital in the area, and I hurt myself while helping a patient in front of other people. Was having spasms. They sent me to the ER, gave me some muscle relaxants, sent me home. Unfortunately, I was off for 2 weeks in and out with these muscle spasms so bad I passed out. I was seen in the ER 3 times and in constant contact with my manager. It was a workman's comp case.
Yeah, right.
But because I didn't have a doctor's letter from day one that I needed to be off, they refused to pay me. They took my PTO for those 2 weeks of being off. Incompetent liaison between workman's comp and anyone. They unfortunately because never informed my manager.
Because the
or
day
me.
They sent you home and gave you muscle relaxants, which is really when you're in the best state of mind to go to a doctor and get a note.
Right.
Because you didn't have that note on day one, you aren't entitled to pay. Yeah. That seems squirrely, Patrick.
Do you have a workers' compensation attorney that's helping you with this?
Not yet.
Oh, I think you should. I am not a workers' compensation attorney.
Okay.
I'm not. Yes. That's a subspecialty of employment that I don't do. But I'm sorry, I'm interrupting you. Go ahead.
And they were justified because there is an Illinois state law that if I don't have that doctor's note, I would not be, they could not pay me, which I understand. But by the time they got me to the workman comp doctor, they did pay me for the 3rd week where I was only half time because I had been trying to get back to work, not take off longer.
No, that doesn't
matter. Now, workman's comp will not pay. Understand that. I was told to file a grievance with Human Resources now to see if I could go up.
That seems like something you could do. Yeah, I don't know.
I think so, and I think you should. And, you know, there's also, there could be FMLA rights there too, right?
Yeah,
although that's unpaid. I mean, I'm shocked that they were so harsh in terms of not. Yeah, that's shocking to me. That's really a workers' compensation.
What if I got my arm cut off on the day and they're like, well, you didn't have a doctor's? Like, what am I supposed to do?
Right. No, that seems ridiculous.
All right, Valerie, I would file that grievance and always call Patrick. He probably wouldn't be able to help you
because,
out with workers' comp, but you could find someone.
Yeah, but there's employment law aspects to that, too. Okay. So I'm happy to talk with her about that.
You got his number, Valerie?
I will get it.
All right. Thank you.
Repeat it again, and I promise I will take it. And thank you so much for taking my call.
Thank you.
For sure. Thanks, Valerie.
Thank you.
312-332-7800. This is a good one. Run over. This person didn't want to come on the air, so Ashley wrote. Good handwriting, Ashley.
Yeah,
thank you.
Very nice.
A woman has been working for a company for 15 years. She got a raise for the first 7 years, then stopped getting a raise. Since she's part-time, they told her that since she's part-time, she's not entitled to yearly raises. What can she do? Are you entitled to a yearly raise?
You're not entitled to a raise.
Full-time or part-time?
Doesn't matter. I mean, you're really not. Now, if she's been treated differently because of her gender or some protected category, then yes, that's a problem. But you're not entitled to raises unless it's in a contract. If this person's a union member, probably under the collective bargaining agreement, they might be, or they probably are. But just generally speaking, except for, you know, those issues, no, you're not. Part or full-time.
What if she's over the age of 40? Everyone under the age of 40 who's also part-time is also getting their raises still.
Yeah, that's a that
like if you got it for 7 years and then all of a sudden
I know,
you turned 40 and you didn't.
Yeah, I mean, and maybe the company's said it's because of finances or something. But you have to look at how other folks are being treated and how that impacts you. But, that's the analysis.
All right, for sure. I got like 30 seconds for Shirley.
Okay.
Shirley, you have a legal question about a wedding ring. Quickly, can you tell your story? I don't think she can. I don't know if she heard me. Basically, her son was married for 15 years. He's divorced. Does she have any legal rights to the ring? I think that means Shirley, because it's probably Shirley's maybe ring. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's not a question for you, is it, Patrick?
No,
but you know somebody.
But I do.
Who is it?
My law partner, Karen Conti, who's a family lawyer, would definitely know the answer to that question.
And where can we reach you guys?
312-332-7800.
All right. That was a lot of great stuff, Patrick, that
Thank
we covered.
Thank you. Thanks, John. Always good to be here.
It is always great to chat with you.
Thanks.